Let's imagine some music.
All right,
as well.
What would that sound like if we had music? Yeah, that's better.
Do you like my imagination or what?
Wow, it's vivid.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
That music does, in fact, mean it is a Tech Tuesday, and you can find Bridget Carey at CNET.com. She's a senior editor over there. Bridget, let's talk about a shopping robot, because, you know, a lot of times I can't find a person to say, where is the instant rice? Which aisle do I go to?
Yeah, and maybe there'll be less people and more robots, but what they always try to do at these retail stores, you always see those who have the money kind of try to inch forward on technology and make the robots somewhat, like, they give them a little personality. Maybe they have animated eyes that look like Wall-E. Maybe they have a nice, sweet voice. Sometimes they're only waist high because a robot isn't as threatening if you can kick it. That said, there's a grocery chain, giant food stores. They got like 170-something locations. They wanted to go into robots for cleaning. And Walmart did this, too. Walmart's testing robots for cleaning. Sometimes they look like lawnmowers you can ride. In this case, the one at the grocery store, Giant, it's a very thin, tall robot, almost as tall as a grocery aisle itself. And it looks kind of intimidating. This thing comes at you. So they just put giant googly eyes on it. So that way, it's not intimidating.
That's still scary, Bridget. You're making it seem funny, but if you were in a grocery store and saw that thing coming at you, you'd be a little bit afraid, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, I'm looking at a picture now, and I would be frightened. Like, this thing is not, it has no human feature at all. It just looks like a giant glowing stick.
Oh, nice.
That's like dark gray, and the idea is that it has all this GPS baked into it, so if there's a spill, you know, clean up on aisle two, it kind of can identify it and find it and clean it, so someone doesn't have to go do the cleanup work. That said, you know how much chaos there will be if this thing's coming at you as you're trying to grab a bag of Doritos or something,
yeah.
And you're like, out of the way! it'll stop and won't hit anybody. It'll know your cart's in the way, but still, this thing's going to block the aisle. I mean, it could be thin. I guess it can turn to the side, so that way it doesn't really block the aisle too much because it's a thin stick, sort of.
It looks
flat.
Like Gumby is what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
That is a good description. Gumby, but dark gray.
Yeah.
And no hands and no smile. I mean, at least put a smile on it with, like, some spray paint or something if you're going to put
right.
googly eyes on it.
So is the eventual goal where you still have to go to the store or not go to the store, will your robot just go aisle by aisle and get a list of things you need? What's the eventual goal here?
Okay, so there is a supermarket chain working on that, but it's not like a friendly Rosie the Robot picking out your oranges for you at
yeah.
the produce section. This is more like where it's being done. There's a chain in Miami that in the warehouse side, you know, has all the food stocked up in such a way where the robot arms can quickly grab it and it goes down conveyor belts and then gets bagged and then an actual person has to go drop it off at your door. So that's where, you know, we're kind of, you know, in the space of having your groceries done for you by robot. In reality, if you want to order online, there's actually somebody usually doing the picking for you, throwing it in a cart and going on a moped to drive it to your house.
Okay.
So, yeah, the robot side of it isn't so much a humanoid robot, but they're always working on these things. I go to these retail shows, and they try to show off new robot arm inventions to kind of do this stuff, but it's not as fast as a person.
And was the googly-eyed helper robot at the CES show? Because I'm sure you were wowed with a lot of stuff over there.
If I saw Marty, the googly-eyed robot at CES, that would have been a hit. We saw bread-making machines. We saw lots of machines, but no, I did not see Marty. I'm just getting back now to reality after being a week in Vegas with all the weirdest tech. One of the really cool things I saw was about virtual reality, and it's something that anyone can check out. It's sometimes you go to these shows, and it's like, you know, tech that's up and coming. There is a tourist experience, you could say. It's in a couple locations across the U.S., about 10 different places. It's called The Void, and what they've done is kind of blend the idea of having a tourist attraction with virtual reality and make a space where you put on the helmet, you put on a backpack that has the computer inside, and they have merged what you see in the virtual world to match exactly what you're touching in the physical world in a special room. So there's a wall, you stick your hand out, not only can you see your hand in front of you in virtual space, but it also, you know, you touch the wall in virtual space, you actually touched a real wall. You touch a handrail, it matches exactly with what you're seeing. And I got to do this with one that was themed to a Disney movie, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Mm-hmm. They have one called Ralph Breaks VR, and so we were kind of transported into that cartoony internet world. And things were going wrong, and we were running around, and we picked up these kind of like blaster guns, but they looked to us in the virtual world as cartoony things, and we're trying to like get these bunnies and kittens and the stuff that happened in the movie that you get to do yourself. And it's 15 minutes, and I was just blown away because I'm not dizzy. It was so smooth. This is the future of like going out entertainment. Instead of going to the movies, maybe you'll spend $20-$30 and do this whole kind of entertainment thing. They also have one for Star Wars, and they have them like so I guess it's one of those things where they're making more locations, but you know, going out to do VR makes a lot more sense than maybe doing something that you're just sitting at home in a chair not moving.
When and where, when can we play this?
You can play it now. I know the Disney parks have them. There was one in Vegas. You have to kind of go online to thevoid.com to see all the different locations, but they're usually in big tourist hubs.
All right. Boy, that does sound like fun.
All right. What sounds like fun to me is a personal ultrasound machine because, as you know, Bill, I'm a hypochondriac. I just had an ultrasound done of my kidney.
Yes.
Because I was having some pain. I would like to just be able to check myself every day, everywhere.
Before you wreck yourself. How can we do this? What do we need to know there, Bridget?
Well, I wanted to put this on our talking list because there's a lot of health tech at CES, and you see a lot of ways where people can do things to check themselves by just connecting it to an iPhone. That's the new wave, you know, whether it's blood pressure monitoring or whatever. And in this case, it caught my eye at the show. I haven't told you guys, but I'm pregnant.
Hey, congratulations.
Yay, congrats. Number two, right?
Yeah, this is number two. Thank you.
That's
so
great.
You can say I know a thing or two about having ultrasounds done, and I'm looking at these folks live on the show floor, scanning their heart, and it's just being shown on the iPad in front of them. And this scanner is handheld, maybe the size of an electric razor. What they have created is something that doesn't need a giant, you know, tens of thousands of dollars machine. It can scan any part of the body that normally you need accessories for different parts of the body. You know, they developed something that can work anywhere for any part of the body. And let's say you can't get to a hospital and you have to go for a regular checkup somewhere. If you had this machine, they're working on software that's smart enough to help you be able to do an ultrasound, because we're not trained. We wouldn't know what we're doing. But imagine, you know, okay, I'm having a problem. I want to have a checkup on the baby, and I can't get to the hospital. You start the software. It tells you you're recording it correctly. Then it gets sent to a doctor, or a doctor can live see a feed, and you're like video conferencing at the same time as you're scanning the heart or whatever you might be scanning, the baby, you know, your knee, and they can talk you through it. So that is at a much lower price point than the machines today. It's like $2,000, and it's FDA cleared and available now.
That's what I want for my birthday, Bill.
Oh, that'll be easy.
It's kind of fascinating what telemedicine can do. You know,
I think, Bridget, they're already doing a version of this. Like, did you ever see it in an NFL game when a player goes, he's injured, and they put him in a small tent off the side of the field, and they run a quick scan on him? So there's already a version of this actually being used, but this will make it easier and better for everybody. That's excellent. And this is going to happen very soon, right?
Oh, it's actually just started being shipped. It's FDA cleared.
It is.
So
right.
So right now only a professional can use it. I was being pretty bold. I was like, hey, can you guys just like, can I see my baby right now?
Just
look scary right now. And they're like, maybe that's best for your doctor to do.
Oh.
They were scared to do it.
Yeah.
But imagine if like everybody in our block pitched in and someone was injured, you know, I want to be the keeper of it because I will use it more frequently.
Right.
But, you know, that seems like a great idea.
Yeah.
I love it. Look at what excites you and what excites
that's
me.
That's great. Maybe that robot at the grocery store could do it for you, Bridget. Try that.
Oh, Marty.
Ask nicely. I know this is a silly question, but I'm curious, at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, what was the dumbest thing you saw? What's the one thing that you went, this will never work? Why are they even trying this?
Oh man, a lot of dumb comes to mind. Let's see. I think the snooze mask was the snoring prevention mask was pretty bad. There's a lot of people trying to fix snoring problems.
Yeah.
and this thing covers your nose and pinches your nose to make you like breathe more if you're snoring. Oh my God, it looks suffocating just to put it on.
That sounds like fun.
And then there's just a lot of attempts at having friendly robots. Like, imagine a suitcase that had ears that wiggled. Like, oh, if you pet your suitcase, the ears wiggle. Okay.
Yeah, that's something we've all been craving for centuries. Yeah. That's excellent. Good.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are make you kind of pause a little bit and wonder about, but at least there's some tech being done for good.
There's usually a TV or two shown that is, I know the industry changes constantly, but there's something that just blows everybody away. Was there anything like that this year? Anything coming to mind?
Yes, there was something that actually blew the reporters away who've seen it all. There's a rollable TV. Imagine a TV being so thin and flexible, it rolls up like a poster.
Yeah.
And it's stored in like a little coffee table kind of thing. Like the stand the TV would sit on is what it would sink back into. So underneath, you don't see the curls of the roll, but when you're ready to watch TV, just hit on, up it rolls out,
there it is.
And flat. And there it is, yeah. So you don't have a TV screen in front of your face all the time when you're not using it.
Oh, nice. LG, very, very nice.
LG makes that, but it's not for you or me because it's for rich people. They don't have a price yet. It'll be coming out this year.
That means that in a couple of years, that'll be standard and it won't be high priced, right? We're a year or two away from that, right?
Right, and this whole idea of having screens that can bend, I mean, they're working on technology getting better and better, and you might see it in more different places but beyond TVs.
Excellent. Very, very good.
I love the technology.
Yeah. And Bridget, more than anything, congratulations on baby number two. That's excellent. When is the baby due?
A very geeky day. It just so happens to be May the 4th.
Oh, I sure hope it happens. A little Anakin or... Well, Ray, maybe.
Yeah.
Mon
Mothma.
I doubt that.
That's a pretty name. Bridget, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bridget Carey from CNET, a senior editor at CNET.
Yes,
no less.
You can find her at CNET.com. Our program will continue, and coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He is sitting in that Northwestern Medicine newsroom.